the title of the course is Turn Simon's Theory, but what I really wanted to do was use this course as an excuse to teach people like related topics in mathematical physics that I think you all should know. So for that reason, I thought I would spend the first week talking about differential forms, which is not a topic in Psi, but obviously should be. Or maybe it's been briefly touched on before. But you know, before you understand anything, even understand the Trent-Simons action, the Trent-Simons action is built from something called the Pontryagin class, which is something people studied in differential topology. So we need to understand a little bit about cohomology and differential forms before even getting to the very basic treatment of Trent-Simons theory. So, suppose we have a manifold. Of dimension n with local coordinates x1, xn, k form on m is an expression sum f I 1 to I k x 1 x n the x I 1 wedge the x I k, where these coefficients Fi1 Ik is totally anti-symmetric. So what we're going to do today is develop the rules for manipulating the spaces of differential forms. But the first thing to do is to understand the symbol wedge. So the symbol wedge allows one to take two differential forms and produce a new one. But since you've studied quantum field theory, and you've studied fermions in quantum field theory, you know about anti-commuting variables. So the way to think about this is the following rule. We treat the symbols dx1 up to dxn as anti-commuting variables. So that means and the symbol wedge means the product of anti-commuting variables. So because they're anti-commuting, we have, for example, dxi wedge dxj is equal to minus dxj wedge dxi, and dxi wedge dxi is equal to 0. Okay, so So treating these guys as anti-commuting variables allows us to wedge together two differential forms. For example, you might ask, what is, so if omega 1 is, say, dx1 and omega 2, let's make this, say, dx2 is dx1 wedge dx3 plus dx2 wedge dx4, you can say, what is omega 1 wedge omega 2? So to compute this, we simply use the rules of anti-commuting variables. And this product here is associative. So the answer, it's dx2 wedge dx1 wedge dx3 plus dx2 wedge dx2 wedge dx3. So this one is 0 because it has two dx2s in it. So, and this one I can switch the signs, minus dx1 wedge dx2 wedge dx3. Okay. So that the things I need to be able to tell you to do with differential forms, there's two important operations. One is called a pullback, which allows you to transform differential forms under coordinate changes. And the other is the de Rham operator. Actually, and the third one is integration. So let me start with the de Rham operator. So, and we're going to work on some coordinate patch of a manifold. So I'll take some open subset of Rn. We let omega k u be the space of k forms on u. And we define d from omega k of u to omega k plus 1 of u by, in index notation, d of sum f I 1 I k x dx I 1 wedge dx I k is equal to, what we do is we take the partial derivative of this with respect to some variable. And since we have a dxj there, we have a new index. So I absorb that index by putting a dxj here. So it's not hard to show that for any differential form, KFU, d of omega is equal to 0. So why is that? So we'll take omega like we did over there. Then d of omega is the sum of the f I1 ik dxj dxj wedge dx I1 wedge dx ik. And now we do it again, d of omega. We're going to differentiate twice here. Maybe why don't I do that over here? D squared del x j1 del x j2 f I1 ik dx j1 wedge dx j2 wedge dx I1 wedge dx ik. And now we notice this expression is symmetric. But because these dx's are anti-commuting variables, this expression here is anti-symmetric. So the whole thing is zero. Okay. Any questions? Is this all very familiar? So easy? I wanted to make sure that people who haven't seen this before had the chance to understand it. Okay, so as a useful thing you can do is to take the cohomology, which is defined as follows. So if I have some open subset of Rn, this definition can be extended to any manifold. We define Hk of U to be the set omega of closed K forms. The equation d omega is equal to zero is called being closed. Modulo the relation that omega is equivalent to omega prime if omega minus omega prime is equal to d alpha for some K minus one form. So you've probably heard about cohomology a lot, and we're maybe going to say a little bit about it. Let me tell you some examples without going through the computations. Hk of Rn is equal to zero unless k is zero. H0 of Rn is or. If I remove a point, this is equal to zero if k is not equal to zero or n minus one, or if k is equal to zero or n minus one. So the idea here is, well, when k is n minus one, there's this sphere, and that sphere is going to tell us about, it's going to be related to this n minus one cohomology class. So this cohomology defined by, in this very differential geometric way, it knows about the topology of whatever manifold we're studying. So the other important thing we need to do to be able to manipulate differential forms is pullback. Suppose I have some open subset of Rn and another open subset of Rm and some mapping from U to V. So because this is an m-dimensional space, this is given by a bunch of functions. Where these Fi's are some functions from U to R. So let me call these guys G instead. If we have a differential form Fi1ik y1 to ym ey1 eyi1 wedge dyik. If this is a differential form on V, we define G star omega by the following rules. Firstly, G star dyi. So then I take the ith component of G is equal to something I'll call dgi, which is defined to be the sum dgi dx. Maybe I should use weak letters for those indices, dx alpha, dx alpha. Okay. So if I see these g's depend on x's, then dgi is defined to be this expression. And secondly, if omega looks like that, g star omega is equal to the sum fi1 ik. But now instead of evaluating it on the y's, I evaluate on the g's. G1 of x, gm of x, and then here I plug in the dg's. Okay, so this looks a little complicated. But the important things to remember is this rule here, that dg is this expression. And if you can remember that, and remember that wedge is anti-symmetric, you'll be able to figure out anything. So let's do a simple example to see why this kind of expression should actually not be that unfamiliar. Suppose I have some function g from R2 to R2. And then we can ask, what is is g star of dy1 wedge dy2. The answer is that, well, of course, by these rules, g star of dy1 wedge dy2 is equal to d of g1, sorry, dg1, I just replace y1 by the first component of g, wedge dg2, which is equal to del g1 del xi dxi wedge del g2 del xj dxj, which is equal to g1 dxi del g2 dxj times dxi wedge dxj. Now we notice dxi wedge dxj is anti-symmetric, so it's dx1 dx2 minus dx2 dx1. So we get del g1 del x2, sorry, x1 del g2 del x2 minus del g1 del x2 del g2 del x1 dx1 wedge dx2. So you notice that the expression that appears here is the Jacobian. So in general, if I have some mapping, G from Rn to Rn, then G star of dy1 wedge dyn is the Jacobian of G times the x1, the xn. Okay, any questions? So checking this is not hard. I mean, it's not that hard. It's just some little manipulation like this one, just a bit more complicated. So I have until 11, right, Aldo? Or?
Sorry?
I stop at 11? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
what's that, sorry?
Yeah, there is another lecture.
I figured, yeah. Yeah, sorry again, I was late. So this pullback stuff is really important. Let me see if I can do another nice example. Well, maybe let me do a few things quickly. So, if we have a manifold, M, so how do we define the space of K forms on M? Well, the answer is, I mean, there are tensors which transform in a certain way, and we've explained how they transform by these formulas with pullback. So if UI are coordinate charts. And phi ij are the transition functions. Let me say like this, so ui is inside of Rn, inside of m, phi I ui. Then an element of omega km is some omega I in each coordinate patch. And we know how to define that because if we know how to talk about Rn, such that on the intersection UI union intersection UJ, we can write it like this. If we apply the transition functions, which are the change of coordinates from the coordinates appropriate to patch I to those of patch J, then when I pull back, then omega J becomes omega I. So this is just a kind of slightly fancy way of saying there are tensors which, when I change coordinates, transform by pullback. Let me quickly say one more thing. So if I have an n-dimensional manifold, and I have an n form, well, n forms are single component tensors. Which transform as the Jacobian. So if I change from one set of coordinates to another, and at the because it's a single component tensor, it's going to be multiplied by a scalar function, and that scalar function is the Jacobian of the coordinate transformation. Well, we know that the Jacobian is also the factor that appears in an integral when we do a change of coordinates. Well, it's almost when we change coordinates in integration, the integrand changes by not the Jacobian, but its absolute value. Yeah?
So is the which transform as a Jacobian, is that well defined? Because when you are identifying the omega of n with the scale of u at the bottom, but that you have to pick a volume form. How will that change the Jacobian? It's like,
right. So when you say, when you choose coordinate, I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this is kind of a applied math physics-y way of saying that the pullback is the Jacobian. But if I choose a system of coordinates, then I use the volume form dx1 up to dxn to identify n forms with scalars. Now, if I choose another system of coordinates, I use the volume form dy1 up to dyn to identify n forms with scalars. These identifications differ by the Jacobian of the coordinate transformation. So maybe I'll finish the discussion of integration next time. So what this is more or less telling us is that n forms are the things we can integrate because they're tensors which transform as the Jacobian. Up to the subtlety that normally when we do integration, we pick up this, the factor we pick up is not the Jacobian, but rather its absolute value. So this only works as long as I'm equipped with a set of coordinates, where the coordinate transformations have positive Jacobian. And a set of coordinates like that is called an orientation. So on a manifold with a set of charts like that, with positive Jacobian as the transition functions, n forms are things we can integrate. So I'll maybe say a little more about that next time and discuss Stokes' theorem.